The One Where They Get Engaged. Written by GemGirl28. Recorded by Super Sarah. It started as a joke, really. Zuko, exasperated with his council's continuous pressure to marry, had slumped in his office chair with a huff.
At this rate, they are going to carve a betrothal necklace for you on my behalf and present it without my consent.
He griped, rubbing his temples. Katara laughed half-heartedly, coming around to work at the tension in his shoulders.
I would never accept that, and they know it, she said. Besides, necklaces are a northern tradition. It would make more sense for me to carve you a necklace than for you to make me one.
Oh?
Zuko said.
I don't believe I'm familiar with the engagement customs of the Southern Water Tribe,
he said, too level to actually be casual. Katara snorted as she worked a particularly nasty knot out.
Please, I know you asked Dad and Sokka the last time you visited. Sokka isn't as subtle as he thinks. He kept making pointed statements about needing to find new bones to carve, and beads are a lot trickier than most people think, Katara said.
Zuko blushed, thankful she was standing behind him and couldn't see the color rising in his cheeks. He swallowed, trying to clear his throat.
So,
he started, trying to find an appropriate subject change, but overwhelmed at the idea of Katara making him a necklace.
Is that something you would like to do?
Get engaged? Eventually,
Katara said with the shrugging off the chance of repeating an awkward conversation they'd already had too many times.
You know we don't have to rush.
No, I meant a necklace. You making me a betrothal necklace,
he quickly clarified.
Oh,
Katara said, tilting her head as she mulled it over. The pressure of her fingers lightened, distracted by the vision of Zuko with a blue ribbon around his throat. The image was far more pleasing than she cared to admit.
Maybe,
she said, trying to tamper the wave of desire that rushed through her. It certainly would make negotiations with the Northern Water Tribe interesting. Zuko chuckled lightly, reaching up to grab Katara's hands. He gently pulled her around and into his lap.
I'm sure it would.
He brushed a loose strand of hair back from her face, fingers lingering along her jawline.
Is that something you would want?
Katara asked, smoothing away the tension in his shoulders.
I...
Zuko cleared his throat, trying to compose himself.
I think so.
Katara snorted, but rested her head on his chest, taking a deep breath as she enjoyed the feeling of his arms around her.
Maybe I'll do it just to see what you say.
She muttered it under her breath, not meaning for him to respond. His answer sent a shiver down her spine, the quiet word full of promises she wasn't quite ready to face.
I'd always say yes.
Katara couldn't get the image of Zuko, bare except for a ribbon around his neck, a pendant resting in the dip of his collarbone, out of her head. The details of the pendant were fuzzy, sometimes a sun, sometimes a moon, sometimes both, but in every daydream he stared up at her with the same warm, tender expression. After weeks of picturing Zuko with a betrothal necklace, she finally decided to ask for his honest opinion. She ran her fingers over her napkin, waiting for a lull in their dinner conversation that was appropriate to fill with questions like, "Will you let me carve you a necklace?" Or, "Will your council really hate you for wearing one?" Or, "I can't stop fantasizing about you wearing nothing but a necklace I made for you. Do you think that makes me weird?" In between bites of her rice pudding, Katara gave up on waiting for the perfect moment.
"So, Zuko," she began, not quite meeting his eyes, "remember a few weeks ago when I mentioned something about making a betrothal necklace?"
She quickly glanced at him, wincing internally as his eyes widened. Zuko gave a short nod, and her eyes flickered back to her bowl.
"I was thinking...
Katara closed her eyes, her grip on her spoon tightening.
"I would like to make you one if you will wear it,"
she said all in one breath. She only opened her eyes when Zuko reached over and pried the spoon from her hand, gently taking both in his.
"I'm afraid I didn't quite catch that, love,"
he softly said.
"What about a betrothal necklace?"
Katara took a deep breath and tried again.
"I would like to make you one. If you'll wear it, that is."
A soft grin tugged at the corner of Zuko's lips, and Katara felt her heart race. It felt impossible that he should still have such an effect on her even now, nearly a decade after they'd met. As Zuko's golden eyes brightened, Katara decided it would be worth the arrhythmia to know she was the reason for his beautiful smile.
"I would love one,"
Zuko said simply, kissing the back of her hands before releasing them and returning to his dessert. Katara blinked, confused by his reaction.
"You wouldn't mind?" Katara slowly asked.
Zuko shrugged one shoulder, finishing the last bite of his pudding.
"No. I mean, it might be weird to adjust to always wearing a necklace, but I'd love to wear one you made. Plus, I was thinking it would solve our engagement predicament."
Katara felt herself flush as she pushed around the last bites of her pudding. In the early days of their formal courtship, Zuko confessed that he was ready to take their relationship to the next step whenever she was. She told him they should wait, should let the political climate settle a little before rushing into marriage. Here they were nearly 2 years later, and she was still stalling their engagement. Katara wanted nothing more than to marry Zuko, to be his wife, and to call him her husband. Yet the bitter taste of failed relationships past kept her from jumping to the next step. It didn't make sense. Katara was the Avatar's waterbending master, a hero of the Hundred Years' War, ambassador for the Southern Water Tribe, daughter of Chief Hakoda. She did not back down from challenges and fought all her own battles. Logically speaking, there was no reason to be afraid of marrying Zuko. But the heart doesn't listen to logic, and Katara's bruised heart wasn't ready to make the jump.
"What were you thinking?" Katara asked.
"I figured if you propose, it's your move. I don't want to keep asking and making you uncomfortable."
Zuko waved his hand, as if trying to pull the words from the air.
"I don't know if that makes sense, but if you propose, then I'll know you're ready."
Katara took a sharp breath, stunned by his offer.
"Are you sure? Won't the council..."
"Katara."
He gently tipped her chin so she met his eyes.
"I don't give a damn what the council thinks about our relationship. What matters to me is that you're happy with how we are proceeding."
Katara's eyes flicked between his, searching for any hint of a lie. She knew she wouldn't find one. Zuko was not a patient man, but when it came to her, he seemed content to wait until they were gray. It made her swoon to know he was so kind and patient just for her.
"Okay."
She nodded, grabbing his hand and squeezing it gently.
"Okay. When I'm ready, I'll propose."
Zuko beamed at her, squeezing her hand in return. When he looked at her like that, her battered heart didn't feel quite so fragile. It took Katara a week to design the pendant, and it was another week before she could take the time to go to the marketplace and get her supplies. Katara's free time was precious little, yet any spare moment she had was spent working on the carving. She realized that the monotonous work, though it required concentration and skill, also gave her the time to consider the reasons for delaying her engagement.
"Because I've been hurt before."
That was only halfway true. Her relationship with Aang ended poorly at the time, but they had both long moved past the heartache of their childhood. Haru was still in love with her, but he had never been cruel to her.
"His council won't accept me."
Well, that wasn't quite true either. The council was now vying for Zuko and Katara's engagement, though she suspected it was more from a begrudging acceptance and desire for an heir than because they actually wanted Katara to be Fire Lady.
"His people won't accept me."
That wasn't true either. Once the story of the Painted Lady leaked, Katara was greeted as a hero. She used to shy away from the affections of the Fire Nation, but now she embraced them, knowing that if she married Zuko, they would be her people too.
Because I'll be turning my back on my people for the nation that took my mother from me.
Katara sighed heavily, setting the andesite stone in the box she kept it in, along with her other supplies, when she wasn't working on it. As she cleared her desk of the shavings, she considered the true reason why she held herself back. It wasn't fair to hold Zuko responsible for the death of her mother, nor the near extinction of her people. After all, he'd only been a child at the time, only 10 years old, and shortly after he lost his own mother during her banishment. As for her people, Katara realized she no longer thought of only the residents of the Southern Water Tribe as hers. Katara advocated for her tribe as ambassador, yes, but she was equally outspoken on issues affecting all of the remaining nations. Even visiting the Southern Water Tribe no longer felt like it used to. Between the reconstruction and the influx of residents from the Northern Water Tribe, Katara's little village was no longer recognizable. It hurt knowing the place she grew up only existed in her memories. Maybe that's why her visits had steadily grown shorter and shorter over the years, only staying long enough to visit with Gran-Gran, to catch up on politics, and to demand nieces and nephews from Sokka. She wasn't quite sure when it happened, but Katara realized she no longer thought of home as one place, but rather as her favorite people. Like Uncle, and Jin, and everyone who had memorized her order at the Jasmine Dragon. Or Toph and Aang, who no matter where in the world they were, would always make a point of stopping through the palace to visit. Or Sokka and Suki, who divided their time between the South Pole and Kyoshi Island, still deciding where they would settle down, but knowing they would settle together. And Zuko was her favorite person of all. Katara ran her thumb over the stone carving. Eventually, she would paint it, seal it, and hang it on a red ribbon. For now, though, the half-formed sun and sliver of moon stared back at her, asking her what she wanted.
"Zuko," she answered simply. "It's always been Zuko."
Katara hid away her box, resolving to finish the carving after her meeting with the education minister. Katara decided to wait until they were visiting the Northern Water Tribe for negotiations to propose. It only seemed fitting that she should ask him with a betrothal necklace while they were in the north. After their sessions broke for the evening, Katara dragged him to the Spirit Oasis. Despite the setting sun, it was still as warm as they remembered it from the war. They both shed their outer cloaks near the entrance, silently crossing the bridge. The soft grass muffled their steps as Katara drew him closer. Even though they weren't particularly spiritual, both felt a sense of peace settle over them. The ice sparkled around them, reflecting dazzling pink diamonds in the river around them.
"Do you remember what you said to me here?" she teased to hide her nerves.
Zuko flushed and looked at his feet, but she dragged him closer to the pond.
"It's been nearly 9 years, and you're still holding me to that terrible line," Zuko teased back.
Katara's smile widened as they stepped in front of the water.
"I am, and I will continue to hold you to it for the rest of our lives, because I love you."
Katara took a shuddering breath, drawing a slender box from her sleeves.
"Zuko, you have made me the happiest woman alive. You challenge me, support me, encourage me, and are never afraid to tell me when I'm wrong. You make me laugh, even when you don't mean to, and your pouty face is the cutest thing I've ever seen."
Katara laughed when, as if on cue, Zuko's face twisted into said pout.
"Just like that!"
She laughed, taking one of his hands in hers. Katara dropped to one knee, taking a breath to calm her racing heart as she looked up at the love of her life.
"I'll hold you to your declaration that I rise with the moon and you rise with the sun because it's true. I never thought I would fall in love with a morning person, yet I can't imagine waking up beside anyone but you."
Zuko's eyes softened, and if they both felt tears slipping down their cheeks, Katara would never tell. "More importantly, though, is the fact you have come so far since you were that angry kid, chasing a destiny that wasn't yours. I am so proud of the fearless leader you have become. And if you'll have me?" Katara opened the box. "I want to see you grow as we become husband and wife, and someday down the road have kids, and grandkids. And spirits, I'm rambling, and I planned this out much better in my head."
They both chuckled lightly,
Katara taking one more breath as she held up the box.
Zuko, will you marry me?
Zuko beamed at her as he sank down to his knees, resting on his heels so he was eye level with her. Katara didn't know when she started shaking, but she watched the tremors in her hand as he let go long enough to fish a box from his pocket.
Yes, Katara. I'll marry you as long as you'll marry me.
Zuko opened the box, revealing a silver crown shaped like the crescent moon over waves.
You are the strongest, most fearless woman I've ever met. Every day with you feels like a dream come true, and yet I get to wake to you hogging the covers and pushing me to the edge of the bed.
They were both openly crying as they laughed, Katara playfully nudging his arm to continue.
I know I made a lot of mistakes when I was young, but I've worked every day since joining our friends to do the right thing. And being with you, Katara, being the one you come to when you're frustrated or excited or just need to be held, that's the best thing I've ever done, and I want to continue doing it for the rest of our lives.
Zuko pulled the crown from the box, and Katara followed his lead, taking the necklace and holding it in her palm. She squeezed so tightly she was sure the edges of the sunbeams would leave permanent marks on her palm.
So, Katara, will you, marry me?
Katara's lips crashed against his as she flung her arms around his neck. Zuko caught her waist, drawing her impossibly closer. One of his hands cupped her face, the other keeping her steady against him. Katara only pulled back when she couldn't breathe. She rested her forehead on Zuko's, beaming up at him.
I love you, she whispered.
I love you too,
he laughed.
But technically you haven't said yes or no yet, so...
Yes, you idiot! She laughed. I'll marry you.
Katara held up the necklace, surprised it had not fallen from her hand when she hugged him.
And you?
He pretended to think it over, tapping a finger on his chin. Katara lightly swatted his chest.
Yes, Katara. Of course I'll marry you.
May I? She asked, looking down at the necklace.
Of course,
Zuko said, already gathering his hair away from his neck. Katara stood and came behind him, holding the necklace against his throat. When she finished tying the red silk off, she walked back around to study the way the crescent moon and sun looked resting at the base of his throat.
Beautiful,
she whispered, tracing a finger over the blue and gold waves in the middle. Zuko flushed under her compliment, rising to his feet when she offered a hand.
Not as beautiful as you,
he said softly. Katara rolled her eyes, but pulled him in for another hug.
So cheesy, she muttered.
She felt Zuko's laugh reverberate against her chest.
But you love it,
he teased.
I do,
she admitted, tilting her head to meet his gaze.
I have something else for you,
he said in one breath, looking nervous again.
I thought you might also like something to show our engagement, and it is traditional in the Southern Water Tribe.
Katara's eyes widened as he pulled another small box from his pocket, opening it to reveal a set of pearl and bone-carved beads. She didn't realize tears had slipped down her cheeks again until Zuko wiped them away.
Thank you. I love them, she whispered.
She threw her arms around him.
I love you so much.
When Zuko smiled back at her, when he softly brushed his thumb over her lip as he whispered,
I love you too,
before he kissed her, Katara knew that she would ask Zuko to marry her 100 times over if it meant he would marry her. But of course, she was really glad she only had to ask once.